Bill Gatsby.
Good morning, Chapter Steve.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks to you.
Fine. I see we don't have a quorum yet.
Yes, Chef. They're still coming in. Okay, let's wait for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, Chef.
Morning.
Okay, I'm testing whether
my voice is... No, a revised notice for 9:30 was sent, and even the ZB is saying 9:30. So, some members decided to join the mini plenaries, but the notice was circulated, and even the ZB list is correct to say 9:30 as suggested, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Let me check with the Chiwe, will she?
Chiwe is saying he's going to call other members because she was confused, and she also informed them that we are starting at 2, so she's trying to organize them again, Chairperson.
Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, Honorable Mashal.
Well, I'm not understand. What's happening? What are we waiting for?
There's no quorum. They're still looking for members.
But it's already 956 months. I've got 956 already. Quorum is, we're supposed to wait for 15 minutes at least.
Honorable Mashala, because there is a plenary, there is a confusion. Just be patient with us, and then but people have been informed to join the meeting. They'll join.
Are they joining, Chair, or they are still going to join these people? Did we manage to get
I'm told
people?
They are joining.
Okay, let's just give them 5 minutes. Maybe they are, I think around 5 past 10, they will be here, because we can't keep waiting.
Yes, yes, I agree with you.
We must start reschedule this meeting for 6 to 2100 and allow people to join plenaries. I think the reason why they joined this plenary is because they wanted to be there in the plenary.
Because meeting was supposed to start at 9:30. If members were genuine, they were supposed to be here at 9:30 and say that why don't we join the plenaries and come back at 6:00. You know, it was going to be very helpful for everybody. But we follow the guideline that says if it's not clashing with our cluster, we can have a meeting as a committee. And the cluster that they're having plenaries is not our cluster. So if they were genial, they were supposed to do that, honorable member. So unfortunately, we cannot.
We are not going to wait for them to come in. We are going to then move the team.
Okay.
We must take the decision as the one present.
Yes. No. Yeah. If you are proposing that, let me get other members. What are they saying?
I am here, sir.
Yes.
I had a network problem. I even phoned you all. Abantwana, just for 1 second. I can see it.
I'm told we have a forum, Honorable Pushala. Can we start this, or do you still insist that we adjourn for 6 o'clock?
No, it's fine if we have a quorum. We were adjourning because we don't have a quorum, but if we have a quorum, let's move.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Can we start with our meeting? Can we flag the agenda? Okay, that's the agenda. Let me start by welcoming honorable members to the meeting and the entities that will be coming to brief us, and the department led by the DM. And we want to start by apologizing that this is a time where the schedules of Parliament become so tight that creates some stampede, and our apologies for keeping you waiting. I'm going to request that we observe a moment of silence or meditation or prayer before we start our meeting. Thank you very much. Can we note the apologies? Kwaliswa or Biogazi, can we note the apologies? Hello? What's happening?
We can hear you, Chair.
Kholiswa? Kholiswa or Biogazi, can we note the apologies? Means that there is no apologies. We are passing. DM, you and your team, you're welcome to the meeting. Who's that?
It's Shireen Dawood.
Yes,
Shireen. Sorry to interrupt your meeting, but I've noticed there were two apologies on my email from Ms. Powell and Mr. Basson.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Mashego.
I'm double dipping. I'm in this meeting. I'm also in the mini panel. I'm asked to be the mini panel, but I will be double dipping. So I might be passing in the meeting at the bit, because I'm also with Minister Mokopa in Tswane. So I'm really, really very, very overstressed. But I will be on in the meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mashego.
FFN.
Yes, Honorable Mashala.
We are also just double dipping like Uma, Honorable Mashir. And I think in future, let's not call the meeting the same time with the plenaries. No matter the plenary is not in our district, but we've been deployed by our caucuses to go and attend those plenaries. Because they don't know that we have a portfolio committee meeting the same time with the plenary. So we are double dipping. It's going to be difficult meeting this one because we are that side and this side as well. So, but it's fine. I just wanted to also emphasize on what Honorable Mashewa just spoke about. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members. But does that list indicate that there is a meeting, Honorable Members? As I've said, this is members meeting. Plenary start at 10. By 9:30, if we could have come into the meeting and say, even if it's not our cluster, we have interest, check, and we adjourn the meeting and we reconvene later. We could have take that decision ourselves because it's our meeting. Because this meeting appear on the vet list members. So let's proceed and ask GM to lead the delegation, brief us on the strategic plan of the two entities that Water Research Commission and the Transcalitan authorities.
Chairperson, thank you very much and very good morning to you and honorable members. We are here to make a presentation on our entities for the financial year 2021 in terms of their revised trade plans and the annual performance plans. And the documents have been circulated, including the average base and the PowerPoint that we are going to be making a presentation. The Water Research Commission is led by the chairperson of the board, Dr. Mjoli, Usis Nozi, then supported by the chief executive officer, Devigan. And equally, we also have the leadership of the Trans-Caledonian Tunnel Authority, TCTA, that is led by the chair of the board, Ubab Duma, and also supported by the CEO, Comrade Tracy. And the department has all the senior officials led by the acting DG, and the team of the DDGs that is supporting all the entities, they are also here. If there are matters that are related to the department that we should respond to. And from our side, we have looked at the plans and we are happy that they are aligned with the National Development Plan, and including our own plan of entities supporting the developmental agenda of our state. We'll then request with your permission just to have Dr. Mjoli, the chair, just to introduce the matters and then there again briefly to take us through the APP, the high-level issues of the APP in terms of the performance information and targets, and then the non-financial information. And then with your permission thereafter, very quickly we'll have Dr. Ubab Duma coming through on TCTA, giving an introductory remarks, and please the CEO will then come in, look at high-level issues of performance information and targets and non-financial information that will work into the Portfolio Committee for Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation to look at. With your permission, Chair, let's ask the Chair of Water Research Commission just to make opening remarks while there's again is trying to beam the presentation that has been circulated already to all of us. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, members. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. And Honorable MPs and Deputy Minister Mashavo for introducing our team. And thank you, colleagues. Our CEO will present the high-level aspect of annual performance for 2021-2022. I think to avoid further delays, I'll hand over to him. President, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings chair of the honourable chair of the committee and all of the members. I hope you can see the presentation. If someone can just confirm that they can see the presentation.
Yes, we can see the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nozi. Honourable Chairperson, I'm going to go quite quickly. I know that you are behind time. I also know that you have had both the full documentation as well as the presentation in advance. So I'm only going to emphasize one or two of the issues and a couple of the slides. To begin, I think it's useful to tell the committee, remind the committee, because we have told you before, that this year, 2021, marks the 50th anniversary of the Water Research Commission. It's an important milestone here. It was an institution, and it marks a very interesting story from 1971. And if I can just add that there will be many events during the year, and the portfolio committee, of course, will be invited to these events. It's actually already been in some of them that have happened earlier this year. For example, the Women in Science event that was happened in March. I just want to point out very quickly that these 50 years are divided roughly into two periods. There are 25 apartheid years that we have had to engage with, but even there was an important transformation towards a greater injection of science and innovation into the way water is managed in the country. And the 25 years that are leading up to the point that we are now has used that as a great platform, and that work has continued, but it also has been working quite hard in organizing to achieve other parts of the transformation. So the knowledge economy is one of them, but also about the transformation of the cohorts of people that work in this domain and what is the empowerment for previously marginalized groups in the South African environment. I will skip these slides that remind you about the core values and missions and vision of the institution, and I am sure that you are now all familiar with the core purpose of the Water Research Commission as it works in partnership with all of the other public and private institutions in the water and sanitation domain and other domains in the country. It's very important to just remind you very quickly that the four P's that guide our work, and you'll see this reflected in the annual performance plan, is the partnership, the positioning, the paradigm of the multiplier effect, and this is really important. This is about every rand that we put into a research project. We fully expect that to be multiplied by 5 to 10 times as far as impact and outcome is concerned. And core to the business is people. We're building people inside the WRC. We're building people inside the water sector. We're building people inside the science and technology sector in the country, and these principles are core. A quick reminder that we have had an orchestrated strategy in the last 10 years, since 2011, around impact. And these six baskets of impact that you see, the new products and services for economic development, the empowerment of communities, human capital development in water and in sanitation and in the science sector as a whole, delivering sustainable development solutions, informing policy and decision making, and then participating in the national projects around transformation and redress is in fact the way we devise our annual performance plan. Now, colleagues, just very quickly, some critical assumptions that this APP is very, very dependent on. The first is the trajectory of the COVID-19 pandemic in the country. Now, we are clearly at the beginning of the third wave of the epidemic. Hopefully, it will be a muted wave. Hopefully, it will be a contained wave, but we don't know yet. But the ability of the people inside the WRC and all of our research, development, and innovation partners to be functional will depend on the level of lockdown that we're dealing with. The APP and the numbers that are presented are based primarily on the assumption that it won't go beyond lockdown level 1. at lockdown level one, and with no lockdown, we should achieve on this APP push as we have done in the previous financial year. The second big issue is around the water resource levy. Now, you know that we have already had no increase in the last financial year. We are hoping that our current bid for a 10% increase in that water resource levy in the 21-22 year will in fact come to fruition. That is in fact the budget that the minister has approved, and this is the corporate plan that we are working on. What that needlessly and obviously says is that if this is not realized, then there would have to be an adjustment in the mid-year budget estimates and a concomitant change in the targets as well. The third critical assumption, members of the committee, is the levels of mobilization and functionality of all the critical partners of the Water Research Commission in this financial year, and that will depend very, very strongly, primarily on the first bullet point. To move to the tables themselves, I know tables are very difficult to read in a presentation, so I've just got some summary slides from each of those. The thing that we want to emphasize on the first slide associated with both with the impact portfolios need to promote transformation and redress and move in the domain of sustainable development solutions. The pull-outs here are that the WRC 101, which is about a core tool to get new players in water and sanitation research, development, and innovation in the country. And on the back of this, we've been able to achieve around all of the marginalized groups. We have had a shift, we have had a gender shift, we have had a shift to including youth and other vulnerable groups as well. So this will continue, and we will achieve that. The second thing that we were very keen on doing this year is to have the rural roadshow. And the rural roadshows will be a combination system. So the virtual roadshows we will guarantee, but we also needed to have physical interaction because this is the nature of how you can actually empower people at all levels, and that will depend on the critical assumptions that I put out earlier. But where we sit now, we feel confident that that will happen. Another big part of what we're able to do is around organizing to live up to our motto, and the motto being that we want to empower people through knowledge. And the dialogues, the WRC dialogues and the conferences, we will continue to have. These will, however, be primarily virtual in this financial year. And the conferences, like our Women in Water Science conference that we had in March this year, will have a hybrid format. It will have a studio component and a largely virtual component. We've now worked out how this can work, and I think we're going to be in a good space. Then the other big thing that we want to contribute to the minister and the department's agreement in this particular administration is the realization of the water observatory.
Okay.
And you will know that this is in the minister's performance agreement with the president. And the component that the WRC will deliver on in this financial year is the Water Research Observatory. And that will become one of the important building blocks eventually of the Water Research, of the Water Observatory as a whole, which is deemed to be on a 2024 timetable, and it should be achieved in that period of time. Continuing to work on empowering and informing decision-making, the briefs, and, well, firstly, every single WRC project that is completed has been publicly available.
Sorry, CEO. Somebody has not muted your mic. Please mute. Proceed, CEO.
Thank you, ma'am. So, in addition to the technical briefs on every single project that is done, we also have special briefs on policy. And these are directed primarily to the mother department, but in many cases, other important departments that we deal with as well. And you know that we have a cluster of government departments and ministers that the WRC serves, in addition to our own. There are ministerial briefs, and these are specifically for the minister around political issues and the political implications of certain movements in the water and sanitation domain. We are committed to at least 6 parliamentary briefs to inform the members of this committee around several of the aspects, and it goes beyond the brief. The briefs in turn might have a need for workshops and other activities to make this happen. And then in addition to that, we want to be in the state of play around the pivotal issues in the country, and in this period of time we will be putting out 12 WRC working papers. So for example, on the President's statement in the SONA around the independent water producers, we want to produce the best thinking that is available from the literature in that domain, and we will compile that into a working paper, and those working papers will guide what happens beyond that. Then moving on into the next domain around the partnership portfolios and around the innovation portfolios, the core indicators are these. We will have a considerable number. We're targeting 8 of IP due diligence reports in this financial year, and this will organize for new elements of knowledge to be expressed in new products and services that go into the economy. We will, of course, be doing our continuous de-risking activity in the form of 12 demonstrator and pilot projects. These are quite expensive, but they are a terrific bridging tool to bring in the private sector partners. And then, in general, we think the de-risking will organize for us to get into a space where we are able to de-risk new investments by new investors to upscale and to commercialize. We will be looking at strategic engagements in the international space. The WRC is one of the instruments of the globalization of the South African water and sanitation story, and at least 4 are being targeted in this period of time. In areas where we are at the forefront and leading, for example, the wastewater surveillance work that we're doing on COVID-19, but also in areas that we are following closely, for example, the emerging pollutants inside the system. We will also continue our strategic engagements directed at municipalities and the utilities inside the system. We are looking for at least 6 partnership agreements and workshops with our partners in this domain. And another very important tool that we try to develop in the WRC is around the valorization, and in particular developing a water innovation company, and we think in this year the business case will be completed and approved at least by the board of the WRC. Moving a little bit further into the domain of the enhancing of knowledge in the water research and innovation cycle and the promotion of transformation and human capital development, these are what we are targeting in this financial year. Firstly, on the portfolio itself, we know that we're going to have a minimum of 250 operational projects in the 2021-22 financial year. I think we're going to have a considerable number greater than that in the financial year, but this is the minimum guarantee that we are putting into the system, so long as those critical assumptions are looked at in a useful way. We have 75 new projects that we have already approved to be in the system, and this is around a lot of short-term work around the answers we need around the current crises we have in the country, but 1 or 2 very important elements of long-term work. For example, the water, energy, food nexus is something that we're targeting. We will have at least 80 projects completed in this financial year, and that in turn will put out all of those other products I talked about into the public domain. On the building of capacity and the transformation agenda, these are the numbers that we are targeting in this financial year. If we're looking at female project leaders, we are looking for in the total portfolio to get to at least 34% of our project leads. Now, this is not just project participation, but actual leaders of the projects being female project leaders. In the new project portfolio that we have started out from the 1st of April, we're looking at almost half of that being run by women researchers inside the system. These are female project leaders from the universities, from the other research institutes, and also from the SMMEs. In the domain, if you break down a little bit further and look at the black female component, we are looking in the new projects to have about 16% of this, 16 projects in and around 16%. Actually, it's higher than 16%. I think it's 23% that will be black female project leaders, and the total portfolio, we will have 35 of these. You know, these numbers currently are small, but when compared to the overall index in the South African environment in the science and technology space, the WRC and the water and sanitation sector is clearly leading. And we have had good accolades on this matter being pronounced publicly by the Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology as well. And we are helping other institutions to use mechanisms like the one that we've used around WRC 101 to get this moving. If you're looking at black male project leaders, we're looking at a 30% achievement target in the overall portfolio and in the new portfolio in this period of time. And if you combine them, the female and the black leaders, we're looking in the total portfolio to have 64% of that portfolio, or 160 out of the 250 projects being in the domain of being led by black researchers or female researchers. If we move a little bit further and we look at the new projects, in the new projects we're doing a whole lot better. And this is the way this works. You've got to chip away at the front end to transform the averages overall. And at the front end, in the 21-22 year, 80% of the WRC's new projects will be led by black researchers or female researchers, or in the old classical PDI frame. This is a phenomenal achievement, Chair, and I hope that the portfolio committee will support this. In the student domain, in spite of the difficult environment, we think we will be able to assist the training and development of 250 students in total. By far, the majority are in the post-grad frame of master's students, PhD students, and postdoctoral fellows. And we also should point out and bring these things together that we also started a new portfolio, a new measure, a new metric in the system, and this is about emerging project leaders. And in the new projects for this year, 18 of them have now been given to emerging project leaders for these new projects, and that's 26%. These are people who are physically young in age, and those who are young in their research careers, because for many, many reasons, black researchers and female researchers in particular have had to have a different chronology around their research domain because of the circumstances that they're in. There is a full appreciation of that in the WRC, and this is why we are putting this measure forward. In the domain of products and services, and I talked about this a little bit earlier around the demonstrators and the pilots and the due diligence reports, we are looking to have at least 24 new innovations, both in the product domain and the service domain, that will emerge from the WRC portfolio in this financial year. And this will be in critical areas. Critical areas dealing with water quality issues, with acid mine drainage issues, with reticulation integrity issues, like the War on Leaks program and the like, as well as in areas that are a little bit long-term but need a real boost at the beginning, and this is around empowering emerging farmers and female farmers, for example, to move from subsistence to small-scale and eventually to large commercial farmers, and all being done on a sustainable development paradigm. It is an exciting aspiration, and I think we've got some very good markers that move in this direction. Chair, a quick reminder that we aren't able to fund all of the really good proposals that we receive. So this is an example of that around the new round. That's starting off with 280 proposals, 227 of which we're deemed to be good enough to fund. We're only able to fund 71 because we have huge budget limitations. And I emphasize again that the issue around the levy is a critical one. It's not the only one, of course, because even if we had that levy, the 71 might go to 91. It certainly won't go to 227, but increasing the investment in research development and innovation is absolutely critical. In this, I just want to point out the numbers you are familiar with, but I want to point out that at least half of our projects are community-based projects. In fact, we're going for more than half in this round. And this is critically important because we're moving from the paradigm of communities simply being the subjects of research to now being empowered enough to be part of the research team and very, very importantly, becoming empowered through the mechanism of the WRC project to in fact maintain the sustainability beyond the project. And a fantastic example that the portfolio committee is familiar with is the multi-use systems projects that we have done in Chakuma, in Limpopo, where post the project now, and we passed the project by a year, the projects are running and flourishing because the capacity has been built inside the system in those 11 villages that participated in the project, and that is the kind of sustainability that we want to see moving forward. This is the division around the three areas that we use in the WRC as a distribution for your information. This is a summary slide around the transformation matters. A reminder that all of these find their place inside the knowledge tree and the impact basket. And what you are seeing here is a distribution of the projects in those different baskets. And you can see that they all have a very healthy representation. In fact, the smallest, we have 27 other new products and services, and all of the others are significant. And you can see for the new projects that all of them are human capital development. We also have flagship programs in the WRC, and these are they. And what we want to demonstrate here around the new projects is that there's a healthy representation in all of the flagship programs that we're running in the WRC around the green economy, the water, energy, food nexus, climate change, and we're also participating in the climate change commission of the president in the domain of 4IR and big data, as well as water quality and health. And quite new to our portfolio and the integration across the ministry is the work that we're doing in the human settlements domain. You can see here, and this is a quick reminder, that a lot of our projects are with the universities. So what happens in the universities affects us very deeply. So the universities are able to function optimally. We're good. If they're not, we have challenges. And then we also have a fairly healthy SMME portfolio. Now, I thought it might be useful to just share this slide to tell you that there is a wide range of projects. Beyond the numbers, you also need to get a feel for some of the kinds of projects that we are dealing with, and I'm not going to emphasize any of these too much, but when the committee has the time and the space, we would like to give you much, much more information about the projects themselves, also about where they are located geographically, because we have made sure that we have a representation, a healthy representation of our projects across all 9 provinces, and a reasonable distribution between the urban domain and peri-urban domain and, of course, the rural domain. Just in conclusion, Chair, these slides guide you, and you've seen the detail in the document around the alignment with the APP of the line department. There is also an alignment between the WRC's work and the APP of the Human Settlements Department, and I think this might be important to emphasize as you're working across the ministry. But in addition to that, there is strong alignment with the WRC agenda and some of the core parts of the APP of the Departments of Science and Technology, the Department of Environment, COCTA, the Department of Agriculture, and a few others as well, including more recently the DPI. So, sure, I think that might be a good point to conclude, as we do want to catch up with some of the time. On the financials themselves, the indicators that we're looking at in the financial domain is to get the kind of audit report that we have gotten used to over the last period of time. We don't think we would have any difficulties in doing this. I told you about the SMEs and the community-based projects before. The financial numbers we will interrogate together with you at a different time, but this is roughly what we're looking at, and you can see that there's a fair amount of ambition that we want to express. In our budget estimate for the current financial year, if all those assumptions are met, is in and around 330 million. But we think on the back of the increased emphasis around science, technology, and innovation being our own pathway to recover from the epidemic, to recover from the economic crisis, we think we can grow that considerably, and you can see in the 24-25 year, which is the end of this administration, we're looking at the possibility of around 435. Of course, if things that like the water of Zelchi kick in and get useful financial flows from the private sector, if independent water producers become an element in the landscape, if the water innovation company takes off as we are planning, and it comes to fruition quickly, that number can indeed be much, much higher. So, Chair, I have gone through this quite quickly. I thank you very much for your time, and I think it might be useful for me to pause there and wait for your questions and discussion. I should also point out that the group executives of the WRC are also on this call as part of the team, so we have lots of expertise to answer your questions. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Chair. You will guide us because we requested that immediately the TCPA can come through after this one, Chair. If you still agree with us, thank you. Led by Obabdumo.
No, we agree, but the request from your CEO from Human Water Commission that they've got other engagements. They want to be excused at some point. Can we just get members to ask questions and then so that we release them with your permission, of course, DM, they were supposed to have talked to yourself.
No, Chair, you can proceed. You're correct. They should have asked us to, but let's allow them quickly. Leadership as you decide.
Okay. Honorable, I get members to talk to the petition. I've got Honorable Mashala and Honorable Becky. Honorable Mashala, and then followed by Honorable Becky and Honorable Becky. Galaxy A10. Please name your gadget because I don't know who you are. Let's start with Honorable Mashala. Honorable Mashala, start.
It's me. I've used another gadget because my network is very poor. So I had to use another phone and use a different network.
Okay, all right. So with Honorable Mahot. Okay. Let's start with Honorable Mashala.
No, Galawa Chairperson. My first question to the Water Research Committee. On page 6 of your presentation, you talk of influencing policy and decision making with research-based knowledge. Are these topics determined by the WRC team, or could members of parliament request research briefs on current and the ongoing topics? The other question, Chairperson, is in line with your research to influence policy decision, have you or will you undertake any research on weaknesses and gaps in the National Water Act and Water Services Act to influence amendments to these pieces of legislation?
Thank you, Chair.
No, I'm still on. You're out of order. You're unruly. Other topical issues, Chairperson, that would be useful to the portfolio committee would be the best fit for the establishment of an economic regulator to determine rates and tariffs for the entire value chain. The NEFA model has many flaws, so what other options or alternatives could be developed in South Africa? Chairman, the other questions that I want to ask to the Water Research Commission, one of your key objectives is to develop and build youth interest in water innovation and research. What is your involvement in working with primary and high school students to encourage a love of water science and management? Chairperson, the other question to the Water Research Commission, does your capital expenditure include leasing or renting of buildings? If so, has the Water Research Commission, with the assistance of the Department of Water and Sanitation, considered having land and building their own facilities? I don't know how they're going to get that land. I think the government has land. So have they considered that? The last question, Chairperson, is on the budget of the Water Research Commission. If they can have more budget, could they provide recommendation on how further funding would improve their research and development of the betterment of South African society? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mashala. Can I request that those that are double keeping, at least the other gadgets, must reduce the volume as you speak, because we can hear sounds that are coming from your other gadgets. Honorable Teki.
Thank you, Chairperson. So just 2 points. The first one I might have missed. There's a good progress or program for the financial year in terms of women development and transformation. What I want to share is that what was the target in the previous year and what was the achievement. Secondly, I'm not sure whether it's within your parameters for you to deal with. We got a report while we were engaging on the increases last year that the chemicals used to clean the water, it's sourced outside the country and it's very expensive. Let me correct. It's sourced out of the country because it's cheaper than what can be sourced within the country. And what would be the interest of your research? You can work with the different boards, water boards. You can solve the problem. Unlike us going outside to source what we could source here, the only challenge could be the price. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Seke.
Well, thank you, Chairperson, and let me welcome the presentation by the Water Research Unit Chair. Just 2 points. One, Chair, agriculture, it's critical to the GDP of this country. What future research or innovation and development is required to strengthen the link between water and agriculture? And secondly, Chair, on the transformation agenda, the slide indicates female and male black people, but it's silent. I know within your male and female is young people because you're targeting universities and so on, but it's silent, it's quiet about targeting people with disabilities. I think I would like to hear more of that. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Mokgotso.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is directed to the research entity. On page 19 of your presentation, you talk of increasing leverage funding. Please explain this concept and how do you go about doing it? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Can we get response through you, dear?
Thanks, leadership, Gould, because the leadership of the Water Research Commission, there's again the CEO and then the chair to respond to the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister and the Chair. I just give an overview response. But on the question raised by Honorable Musala about police influencing policy and decision making, WRC has always been responsive to what the stakeholders want. If the members of parliament have specific issues that WRC must address, they can just communicate to WRC what research they require. That is part of the Water Research Act.
So that is the issue I want to respond to. And then another question that Honorable Mosana raised was about capital expenditure and talking of WRC having its own building. I would like to let you know that WRC used to have its own building. Maybe the CEO can provide more information why how that came to change. I think I'll let the CEO handle the rest of the issues.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister, and my apology again, sir. It was my error not to include you in that communication around this need to be a little bit quicker today. My humble apologies. Through you, Chair of the Committee, the questions are really useful, and let me continue from the point where the chairperson of the WRC board finished. The way in which the research agenda is developed in the WRC is quite expansive. I mean, it's a process that runs over a couple of months. It takes into account what the needs are from all of the different sectors that the WRC serves, and then through a very elaborate process, and then we present that to the department, and the department adds its own needs into that plate, and that combined product is then approved for consideration by the minister around the final sign-off. And what we do as best we can with the resources that we have is to ensure that we are ensuring that we have the answers to the immediate questions. Because, I mean, one of the issues with research, and this is often a criticism, is that you're looking at long-term issues while the fires are burning now, and we have to deal with the fires that are burning now. So we put a considerable amount of effort into those immediate problems, while at the same time organizing to solve the problems that we already know about the long term, and even contemplating the problems that we don't know yet about the long term, as well as taking the advantage of the opportunities that are going to come in the long term. I mean, for example, we're not going to wait for the world to have had a complete transition to the fourth industrial revolution economy and a whole new water management system before we catch up. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that South Africa is prepared way in advance, and we are hoping that South Africa, in fact, will be one of the leaders in the world so that we can provide those solutions to other parts of the world. So, in Jackie's question about chemicals and consumables, we'd like to turn that scenario on its head, actually. We want to be able to be a net supplier to the world, that other people are importing from us, as opposed to what we currently do in many of these domains. And he is right, that we become very vulnerable when you are importing. One, you are vulnerable to the currency exchange, and we pay huge amounts of money. This is why in the research domain, our research inflation is so much higher than the general inflation. We haven't computed it for the technical services in our utilities, but I imagine we would have the same kind of picture in that scenario. And then the second problem that we've had in the last year is that when you have a thing like a global lockdown, even getting those from other places in the world become quite difficult. So first you have to deal with price escalation, and then in addition to that, you have to deal with availability. So I can assure you that we are doing a fair amount of work with some of the players about trying to organize for much more localization and manufacture, not only in the domain of chemicals and consumables, but also in the domains of pipes and fittings and new sanitation solutions, where we even have in 2017 a chapter in the IPAP, in the DTI's IPAP, pushing for exactly the same thing. And in that case, it was specifically about desalination and about new sanitation as being areas where we're supposed to be putting much more effort into developing out a local industry, local manufacture, to supply locally and indeed to export. And we will continue to work in this regard. But if I can go back to the beginning with Honorable Mashalala's question, the issue about decision-making and the projects associated with the decision-making, let me answer the very easy part first, is absolutely whatever requests the portfolio committee has, we will be able to service it either through the existing information that we have garnered over the last 50 years, or where it is necessary, we will develop new projects to do exactly that. But in general, what informs the projects around the decision-making, it comes out of that stakeholder process. It also comes out of direct requests from the minister and from the departments that we serve. And I should say the ministers and the departments that we serve, because we also get requests from other ministers as well. And usually, we're able to respond very positively in that regard, because the WRC is not only the people inside the WRC as an organization, but the almost now 3,000 researchers that we in turn fund, and this is the expertise that we bring to bear, both locally and internationally, to engage these questions. On the issue of governance and the weaknesses in the legislation and the regulatory environment, the WRC has been doing governance work for a very long time and has informed many, many things. It informed the design and the population of many of the clauses of the current National Water Act in the work that it did back in the 90s. It is continuing to inform and support the development of the different institutions, including the CMAs. It has lots of work done around the transformation of many institutions, including the moved to water user associations, and it is working currently now with the department around new inputs into what needs to be amended in the Water Services Act and the National Water Act and a suite of other tools that supported very closely, including the municipal regulations and the Municipal Systems Act as well. So it works in all of these domains. And there are a range of issues associated with this that are very important, because there is the theoretical solid way in which you can deal with issues, but you also have to be practical about where you are. So for example, around the National Water Act and the Water Services Act, although eventually it's going to be desirable to have one uniform piece of legislation, the steps to get there will include the amendments of the individual pieces of legislation and then gradually getting into the space that you need. And paying a lot of attention to the cooperative governance issues. On the issue of the economic regulator, this has been in discussion for a very long time. It was tabled as a public proposal in the time of Minister Ndambulewa. And from that time, we have been doing a fair amount of work on different structures around that, the different combinations of those structures. You will recall that there was huge discussion in the public domain around the nature of the independence of a regulator. And currently, on the request of the Department of Water and Sanitation and National Treasury, we are working on the formulas associated with water tariffs. Raw water tariffing, purified water, treated water tariffing, issues of the research levy and the like. We currently have a fairly major project that has begun inside that domain, and we'll be happy to keep the portfolio committee informed as the issues start to emerge. On the issue of the youth intervention, in particular with school, the school environment, we have lots of work done around curricula, and the curricula is already being used in the CAF system that has come from the WRC work. We have major projects on citizen science that uses schools as a primary arena around how you engage that. One example is the SAS toolbox to determine water quality of river systems, and we have very, very good participation in that domain, and teachers use this as a primary tool around science education and environmental education in primary schools and in secondary schools, and even in the tertiary environment. We know of somebody who has now finished a PhD using the SAS tool. And we've also had huge successes as a country. You know, we run a national competition, the Vision 2020 competition for high school, and the winners of those go on to participate in the global environment, in the Junior Water Prize in Stockholm. And to date, we have had finalists in many, many years, and we've had two winners. One of those winners, in fact, both of those winners, actually, Kay Reid and Ponso Molasani, have gone on to convert their winning projects into the basis of developing companies, and both of them now have companies that are playing in the international domain. The Claire Reeves project now has World Bank support in addition to others around her global projects. And Ponso Molasani very recently has got new grants from the U.S. In fact, he presented to the Massachusetts Water Forum this year around the work that he's done. So we've got really big achievements in this domain, and I really think we don't talk about it enough. On the issue of the buildings, I can answer why we have moved from one place to another, but the chair of the board and this board is to sign that off. There were three issues, really. One was the issue of the location of the building. It was very far away from our constituencies, and in fact, it was in a part of town that was chosen in 1971 and might have been really good, but it isn't anymore. It isn't a science environment. It isn't an academic environment. It's not really amenable. This is why we are now situated in a place that's a lot better. In fact, where we are situated now is inside the domain of 13 head offices of national science institutions in the country. So we have a very good atmosphere around us. The The second issue is the issue of maintenance associated with that and the risks associated with those maintenance. We in fact went from a fairly large owned building to a much smaller premises and sacrificed some of the things around space in favor of having a well-equipped premises for ourselves and our partners, including the right kind of IT infrastructure to be able to function in the modern age. And then the issue about if we had more budget, what would we use it for? Well, there's a wide range, and we express this quite frequently, and this is a big part of the discussion in the National Council on Innovation, the NACI, and I'm also a member of that, and those cases have been put to Parliament. It's been put in your sister portfolio committee, and it's also been put to Cabinet. But specifically for the WRC, the first thing that we would want to do around that is to accommodate more of those 227 projects that we could not accommodate in this round, and that happens every single year without fail. The second domain that we would like to engage is to put out many more demonstrator and pilot projects. Because with upscaling that we want to do around these revolutionary new technologies, it would help greatly if we had the kinds of budgets to not only put up those projects so that they mitigate the risk around new investment, but also to be able to support SMEs to play much more vibrantly in those spaces as well. And Chair, with your permission, maybe we could have a session with you and talk about that quite specifically in a lot more detail. Then moving on to Honorable Nseka's question, our agriculture work is fairly renowned. I mean, South Africa has become the epicenter of a Southern African group on water, energy, food nexus, and in fact, for a while, was the biggest publishing hotspot in the world in that domain around new papers. We're doing phenomenal new work around operationalizing that nexus. But the work we do in agriculture very closely with the Department of Agriculture, obviously, and many of the rural and district municipalities in the country is one that is very strongly supported by the private sector. In fact, we no longer have agricultural projects that are funded primarily by the WRC. They're all co-funded now by other players inside the system. And we're working across the board from the high end of high-value agriculture like citrus and macadamias, with the commercial farmers on the one end, all the way to what I mentioned in the presentation around helping subsistence farmers and emerging farmers to get much more support inside that space. And one of the new pieces of work that we've been busy with, and we now have a working paper that has been published around this, is around the water considerations of the land restitution project. I think this will be quite interesting to the portfolio committee, and we can make sure that you are reminded of this by sending you the copy. Honorable Nseka, on your question on transformation, we do not have a disability group in the project leaders, but we do pay a lot of attention to this inside the WRC with our own staff, and we now sit with 5% of WRC staff as people with disability. Our target was 3. The national target, you know, is 2. So in that domain, we do quite well. We do have some members of our project team that have disability, and certainly this is something that we can look at a lot more closely. Sorry, that was Honorable Nseke. Honorable Nseke, the first question you asked was around women's development in the last financial year. In the overall project portfolio, we were targeting 80. In the total portfolio, we ended up with 146. So we did quite well. And in the new projects portfolio, while we targeted 31, we eventually ended up with 57. So we're moving definitely in the right direction around women's development. But I think we must agree that there is a much longer road that we need to go through. This matter was discussed really extensively during that very successful conference that we had in March around women in water and women in science. And people didn't only visualize and remind us of the statistics of the problem, they all also went to a made great inroads, actually, into engaging the issue around what kinds of solutions people need to see, and that's currently informing the way we're doing our work, and many of our partners are doing our work as well. Then on the last question from Honorable Hotso on the leverage funding, the WRC's funds are twofold. One is the levy, the water research levy money that goes into the water research fund that we do. And the leverage funding is the other funding that we get through various means. One is in the international competitive space, we put out proposals together with partners to win funds, for example, in the European Union with the Horizon 2020 projects and the JPI projects. We also engage with major donors in the world. So one of our really big funders currently is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, where we are one of the global primary partners around Reinvent the Toilet campaign, and several other partners in this, in that kind of way. So this is the non-levy funding that the WRC is able to garner. As you will see from the 2020 record, that in a very, very difficult year, we've actually managed to exceed our targets. And part of the reason is that we have built very strong reputations with these players on the back of the work that is done by the South African water and sanitation sector. So, Chair, I think that I have covered all of the questions that you have raised, and maybe I should pause at this point.
Thank you very much, CEO and the Chair. We would like to take the opportunity to thank you for having interacted with us and I see Honorable Becky is raising the hand. Honorable Becky? Or you forgot to lower your hand? Honorable Becky? Okay, I want Honorable Becky. Yeah, okay. All right. Thanks. Thank you very much, CEO and the Chair, for the presentation, and good luck with your project, and we hope indeed you'll be able to implement all of the project. This COVID did not actually become worse and end up suspending some of the project, because you are doing a good job. Thank you very much. Let's invite the CCTA through your DM.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, Honorable MPs, PM and colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity. TCK is an SPV, an intellectual property driven, and all its activities are actually aligned and seek to attain the objectives of the NDP Vision 2030. So now, specifically February 2021, and government development outcomes. So the presentation by the CE will focus on this alignment, and it will also talk to issues that seek to unblock project delivery, and also risks, and also some of the issues around the budgeting. So I will hand over to the CE to do the presentation, and thank you, Chair. Yeah.
So, Chairperson, I had to unmute myself. I have apologies. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members, and good morning, colleagues. I hope my presentation is on the screen. Can I get a confirmation?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. This would be the outline of the presentation, but I think as in line with the previous presenter, there are areas where one would try and spend more time, but some of the slides, with your permission, Chair, I will just try to go through quickly, just to demonstrate that we've done the work that we needed to do, but I'll have specific focus on certain of the slides where we're talking about the projects themselves, if it's allowable. The introduction, I think, as has been said by the Chair, talks to the purpose of TCPA, and we'll be talking about how TCPA's plan is aligned and responds to government priorities, government policies, as well as the legal framework. I think the question that always gets asked has to do with...
Unmute yourself. Comrade, unmute yourself.
I'm sorry, I don't know why I got muted again, Deputy Minister. Thanks. Thank you.
You're still muted, CEO.
Maybe it's time to come back to what the Caribbean Comrade Chair. To get water back. Comrade, please, we can't hear you. Mabduma, please help to the CE.
Okay, thanks, Tiaman. I'll just try again. Okay.
His mic is on, but there's something wrong. Maybe change. Maybe you can continue on the mandate while Comrade Pace must log out and maybe log in through your chain.
Okay, thanks, Justin. Can I continue the
Yes,
Chair. Okay, thanks. TCPA's mandate is derived from the legislation and notice of establishment as well as directives from the minister. So as I indicated, it's a specially directive driven. I just need to, because I don't know how to actually move through the presentation, I must also check, because it's flighted, the space was flighted, so it probably the problem to go through it. But in terms of the legislation, I know you cannot technically see it on the screen. The legislation is established in terms of legislation, notice of establishment, and also, again, directives from the minister. It's a scheduling to the entity, and I'm talking from what I know now, not from the slide.
Sorry? Yes, Honorable Makala.
Can you please ask the speaker to upload the slides on the because you don't see anything?
And Chair would also request that the host will allow this to exit and come back again so that maybe we can find him.
She's left. She will come in again. So can I ask of our officials to track the presentation so that the chair in the meantime can continue? Call this or your guys.
Hello, Chairperson.
Can you put your
Mr. Juma, the co-host, please, she can fly the presentation, Chair. You're given right to fly.
Well,
can you please give me the right, then I'll fly from my side to that bus station.
Okay.
Yes, are you back? I am back, and I apologize for the technical issues, but I hope that we can hear you.
Okay,
thank you.
We can hear you. Maybe somebody must help you with the sharing of the screen, because that's where the problem is. Before technology.
maybe we should run with the screen and then we just present.
Okay. No, we're doing exactly that. And thanks for the indulgence, members. Technically, yes, I was born before some of these things. So I see that my CFO has started to share the screen. I hope it will come up soon. DM, I'm seeing you, not my screen.
It means you don't have NotTech in your building, you have a problem. And I thought you have the best of the art technology there.
You
need to upgrade.
You're probably right. You see, I still don't see the screen that you... It says started sharing screen, but nothing has come in yet.
Maybe call this will help us with net. Above us, they are struggling with an outdated network.
It's not allowing me to share. It said it's paused, even though I try and resume it free.
I'm not sure now. In the hands of people that deal with it, I'm not sure whether the name that keeps on being put up is the one where we need to get the hosting rights from.
Okay, sir. Can we assist, please?
When that person you go home, please fix your five, they are not to be good. It's on the screen now. This colleague will help you, will tell her where you are.
I'm trying to do it from my side because I think we should not be wasting the time of the committee. Is my presentation up?
We can see your alignment with government authorities. Slide 14.
Yes, so I'll take it from there. And I must apologize for all the technical features. I'll do it from my side. And what I was saying here, members, is just showing the issues that have been raised by Parliament and how TCGA is dealing with those to make sure that there is proper alignment with government priorities. The first one is on COVID-19 pandemic. The second one is on accelerating economic recovery, and that looks at the projects that we are dealing with. We are highlighting some of the projects because the nature of our projects are that they have a great impact even in terms of the GDP of South Africa based on where they are and the impact that they have across the board. On the next slide, it's implementing economic reforms to drive inclusive growth, and we're looking at our participation in the establishment of the National Water Resources Infrastructure Agency, as announced by the President, shows TFTK's commitment to this major government initiative. And we've put this as a deliverable in our corporate balance scorecard for 2021-2022. Although later I will talk about the fact that some of the activities are now taking place at this stage, which was post us putting some of this together, especially when one looks at the cost of what needs to be driving that particular process. The issue of fighting corruption and strengthening the state that has been weakened. We're looking at maintaining the highest standard of clean governance. We have our fraud prevention plan, and this is an extra hit to the corporate plan as well. And then just looking at the strategic overview, we have our vision and mission, and this one I'm just going to pass through. The broad TCTA strategic goals really focuses on execution of ministerial directives and our business mission to plan, finance, and construct water infrastructure to specification, trying to do it on time and within budget in a sustainable manner, which is something that we've been able to do all these years as well. Ensure that all projects facilitate socio-economic transformation and build sustainable communities by developing small enterprises and creating jobs. Managing and operating the business, projects and processes cost-effectively and maintaining the highest standards of clean governance. Build capable hubs through off-site leadership and innovation in niche areas of water management in support of the business and other water institutions. We work very closely as well with the Water Research Commission and all the other water institutions and even related industries in terms of ensuring that there's a lot of innovation and thought leadership in terms of what we need to improve within the sector as well. Ensure the continuous nurturing and retention of high caliber and motivated human capital for delivering on organizational mission into the future. The transformation strategy, what is it that we do? We're looking at procurement policy reform for goods and services as well as for infrastructure development. Provision of economic opportunities to previously disadvantaged individuals through preferential procurement. Development of black businesses through enterprise development with emphasis on women, youth, and people with disabilities. Job creation and employment of local citizens. Skills development. Provision of bursaries to disabled students from previously disadvantaged backgrounds. And looking at poverty alleviation where we can actually deal with that. And there's an alignment between contribution to government development outcomes, looking at outcomes on one side and the other side, it's really TCTA contribution in terms of how we are unpicked. And we're looking at outcomes 4, 5, 6, 7, which we believe 8, 9, 10, and 12. These we believe are directly related and linked to the work that we are doing as TCTA. And with your permission, Chair, I think this has been shared, and I'm going to just pass through this because the idea was just to, for us to be able to show that there is alignment. So if I'm allowed, I'll go to slide 22, which just talks to the main activities in terms of all the projects that are directed to TCK by the Minister of Water and Sanitation. The list of projects. These are the projects that we're dealing with, the Soto Highlands Water Project that is sitting in the Vaal River system, the Berg Water Project. You can see that the Soto Highlands Water Project, the impact that it has in South Africa, the provinces, it covers Gauteng, Free State, and Gauteng almost as a whole, Free State, Mpumalanga, bit of Limpopo, Northwest and Northern Cape. These are just parts of where that water ultimately ends up and the impact that it has. The Berg Water Project, Western Cape, Vaal River Eastern Subsystem Augmentation Project, Mpumalanga, the Komati Water Supply Augmentation Project, Mpumalanga, Moengeni Transfer Scheme Phase 2, KwaZulu-Natal, Olifant River Water Resources Development Project, Phase 2C, Limpopo, Mokolo and Crocodile Water Augmentation Project in Limpopo. So in the main, the footprint of TCTA is across the different provinces, and this is the impact that we have. And then still looking at the project, we also have acid mine drainage short-term intervention that I think initially was linked to the Vaal River system. And these are the projects because the Vaal River system affects these provinces. Mkomazi Water Project, Phase 1, KwaZulu-Natal, the Brothers of Bears River Full Flay Augmentation Scheme, Western Cape. Then we're still talking about the acid mine drainage long term, but I think in the presentation I will talk about that a bit because there has been a halt in terms of us now starting with that project, and the department has rightfully decided that they want to resist their assumptions that they have made and try to see whether are there other ways of actually dealing with that project. And all we have asked for was that the directive that was given to TCK should be suspended or at least taken back, because the department is looking at other solutions for that, which we don't have a problem with. And then there's the Mzimvubu Water Project that is sitting in the Eastern Cape as well. The mandate and current directed projects. Currently, there are 6 projects under debt management. And now I'm just using the acronyms for the projects that I've just mentioned. There are about 6 of those. We do have 3 projects under preparation, which is Brothers, Mpomazi, and Mzimvubu. 1 project in implementation phase, Makwap 2A. 1 project that closes out the Oliphant Project 2C. 2 projects under operation and maintenance. This would now be the Lesotho Islands Daughter Project Phase 1 and the acid mine drainage short-term solution. And then there are 3 projects on hold. This is the Part 2B of the Oliphant Project, the AMD long-term solution, and the Krill Project. And then there are other advisory work that we do, and there are 4 projects that we're currently dealing with. Our advisory services to water management institutions and water boards and the department itself. We also have a role to play in terms of coordinating SIP 3 and SIP 18, and we project management services to DWS in relation to water infrastructure projects as well, because we work very closely with the department, because we are actually there implementing projects on certain kinds of projects that we deal with. Now, looking at stimulating economic development through projects funded and implemented by TCTK, which is aligned to the government requirement. This is just a list of projects that have been funded and implemented by TCTK to date. And this is a list of the projects that I've mentioned with the different amounts of money that are linked to that. I will move to slide 28, where we are talking about unblocking projects and delivery. Primarily looking at the big one, which is the Lesotho Highlands Water Project Phase 2. There is a lot of interest from funders to fund the Lesotho Highlands Water Project 2 because of the strong financial performance of the water system. The economic impact on 50 to 60% of SA GDP and social reach to millions of people in several provinces. Finalizing funding of 15.2 billion from 6 domestic banks and obtained guarantees of 4.5 billion funding from the TFI, having concluded 6.5 billion in 2018 from domestic commercial banks. So these are some of the things that have just happened now in terms of the work that we've done to try and make sure that we can be able to fulfill our mandate by securing the funding in order to make sure that Phase 2 of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project happens. We're looking also at the 10 billion debt capital markets program that will be resumed after the conclusion of the above. Success in raising funding depends on the issuing of government guarantees to funders. And I always try to explain this, that for most of our projects, based on the size and the amounts that are involved, most of the funders would require that there is some sort of security for the money that they are putting on the table. And in this case, they are funding, they need government guarantees. So that's why for our project, there's a lot of activities between ourselves, the department, and also the Ministry of Finance, because water projects by nature are such that if you put infrastructure on the ground and say it is going to this particular community or to its use is going to be for this particular function, if there are problems or people do not pay for that, you can't take the infrastructure and take it elsewhere. It's going to remain there. That's why we need to ensure that there is enough security, and why there's always an insistence that there has to be guarantees for the kind of money and projects that we have to get funded. On managing the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, the financial liabilities on behalf of SA government, one of our mandates is to really look at debt management in terms of...
Just slide up on CEO.
Oh, this is not my day check. I'm not so sure why I'm having these kind of problems today. My system is failing me. Are they back here? Is the presentation visible again?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize unreservedly. The next part is just in terms of how are we managing these financial liabilities on behalf of the South African government. Now, as we speak, we are due to pay 9.5 billion on the 28th of this month as a redemption that requires government guarantees. And this is part of what we discuss now and finalizing with the Minister of Finance. I'm a bit uncomfortable because some of these things wait till the last minute before we get the right approvals. But we've done a lot of work between ourselves, our ministry, and I think our minister has actually signed all the documentation, and we're just waiting for the final signatory from the Minister of Finance. But the background work that we had to do as TCPA has been done. They go into the market and get in the money, but everything is just ending when waiting for those government guarantees. And part of the 15.2 billion loans and cash balances will be used to redeem this 9.5 billion, because much as there is the maturing of the 9.5 billion, there's also now the building of the fund, because we're starting with raising some of the money for the 32.5 billion now for the phase two. And so we're looking at this as two separate issues, but that can be sorted by how we raise the funding to actually address both. Debt owed by PWS for AMD short-term solution should be repaid in 5 years, so that it can be also be used to redeem the five-year loans. Because the kind of money we raise, we're looking at different institutions, because the financial institutions like to actually spread the risk. And this kind of money that you're talking about, you find that it is syndicated. You have a lot of different funders that are coming together to raise the funding. And that actually works for us, because each of them, they now have limited risk in terms of how we look at projects. And some of the different people in the institutions bring different experiences and ability to actually ensure that the projects are a success. And because we are not only looking at the projects, in terms of there's also a new thing that has come up where we say, as these projects have been built, there is the social component where you'd have people that initially were not part of the project, because initially we did have what we call single purpose dams, where the department would build a dam and it would have to be paid for by the end users for that. But that created a problem, because during the planning, they wouldn't have taken into consideration some of the communities where the water is passing through, or the dam is being built around that area. And I know that Parliament has actually been quite vocal, and rightfully so, to say there's a lot of people that are disadvantaged by this, and we need to start looking at how to provide water for them. And what we're showing here is some of these projects that we're talking about, they do have a component where there has to be a social contribution that is brought in, and this means it can only come from the sisters, because this primarily would be, in most cases, for people that cannot, that require water, but that cannot actually have money to pay for that water. So the state does make social contribution for this. So for Mokolo Crocodile Water Project, for Belt Full Flay Augmentation in the case, from Komazi, Olifants and AMD short term, there is some money that we'll actually be getting, and these are the numbers on the right where the state has to come in and assist with that. Especially because, like, if I look at AMD and I also look at Mkomazi, RTX, the project will pay for itself, but because we are not a profit-driven organization, there's always a challenge when we start projects that you need to have money in terms of our project preparation. But the department and ourselves have been straightening out this particular issue. But this slide is just showing where we need funding from the FISCAS through the Department of Water and Sanitation to make sure that we can get the projects going. So you'll see where which part is for social contribution and which one is for project preparation. The economic impact. Just for phase two of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, part of the Valzina system would actually benefit from this, and this supports about 50 to 60% of South Africa's GDP. Nkomazi Water Project is part of the Mgeni system, which supports over 5 million people in KZN. The phase 2A of Mokolo Crocodile Water Augmentation Project, it will support 20% of Eskom's installed generating capacity and allow flue gas desulfurization on all Mitubis generating units. The important thing about what I'm saying is we all know that everybody is talking about how coal is dirty and people don't want to fund that. And we know that South Africa, if you look at our economy, we still have a lot of coal that can actually be utilized. So the condition that was coming from the World Bank loan to Eskom was that they can actually support the Mitubi power station only if certain conditions are met, which would help with ensuring that the environment remains clean. And the technology that is being utilized is this flue gas desulfurization. So even if we are within the water space, the work that we do in terms of providing water will make it easier for us to actually meet or for Eskom to meet those requirements. And it will help, if it's successful, that South Africans can still use coal for generating electricity, because then at least we'll be able to ensure that it is clean energy, although it is based on coal, which South Africa has in abundance. The River Full Flow Augmentation Scheme is part of the Western Cape supply system, which supports between 10 and 13% of South Africa's GDP. This one is the smallest of some of the big projects that we're dealing with, but it's very important to anyone considers where the Western Cape has come from, especially with the drought. So we have to make sure that this is part of the long-term plan in ensuring that there is water security even in that particular province as well. The raising of funding, debt management, and implementation of projects. There are risks associated to for TCTA as a public entity, and these are due to the following. Our primary function is raising funding, amongst others, and this requires guarantees for the Valzina system funding to repay maturing debt on the 28th of May 2021, and for the Lesotho Highlands Water Project Phase 2 capital expenditure. Reduced funders' appetite for lending to SOEs and generally tight lending conditions are actually a risk. We know what has happened with some of the SOEs, and I'll quote the land bank because this is what gets utilized when we go into the international markets to try and raise both locally and internationally to raise funding. Because then there was a guarantee that was not honored. And this has made it very difficult for us when you start asking the question, does the state really support some of the infrastructure projects that we have on the ground? Now, this has meant that despite this, we have been able to talk to the markets and we had the right feedback from them, but they've now attached a lot of other conditions that are making it slightly different and difficult for us to raise money. The second issue is on debt management. The municipality's ability to pay water tariffs, ensuring that tariffs are affordable but also sustainable to assure viability of water sector institutions. Tighter conditions of regulatory approval for borrowing reduce flexibility to deal with unforeseen liquidity challenges. One is to understand that the issue of where our state is, I think the condition of the economy, secondly, the COVID-19 issues as well, has made it very difficult for some of the municipalities to be able to pay. And I know as well that there were decisions that were made even by Parliament that related to the tariff applications of municipalities or of water boards, because that has an impact on us. If municipalities can't pay water boards for services rendered, it gets difficult for the water board to pay the department and for the department to pay us, which means when we talk to raising funding, the international funding markets actually look at all these processes, and one has to deal with and feel a lot of very uncomfortable questions where they said, look, we've approved your loans or your applications to actually get funding from us because you gave us a funding model that says this is how the repayment will go. Now, when that changes, it creates a problem because then we won't be able to meet the requirements as set in the conditions of that money coming in. So it's a very sensitive issue that we need to look at. Much as one understands where Parliament was coming from in terms of the ability of people to pay, but the fact of the matter is there are still debts to be serviced, and we need to deal with that particular issue. Then there are challenges of project implementations, delays in the environmental authorizations by Environmental Affairs. I've been to look at this carefully. Challenges in agreeing in funding models with project beneficiaries and obtaining their commitment to sign off-take agreements. In terms of it contributes to the delays in raising funding. The National Treasury is very clear that if we need to get their guarantees, they need to ensure that we already have off-take agreements, or downstream, the water boards and the municipalities already have signed agreements that they are prepared to take the water and they are prepared to take it at a particular cost. Now, the problem is everybody requires water. We know that there's no life without water. But then a lot of people will say, we want the water, but we can't afford it, which then becomes a problem because we need to have those agreements finalized before we can actually deal with the rest of our project implementation plan. And these are some of the issues that we think we need to actually share with the portfolio committee. And still continuing on that, directed projects on hold. We have received directives for some of the projects, but some of them have been on hold for one or other reason. One of the projects that are on hold is phase two of the Holy Trans River Water Resources Development Project, which I'll just for short call it the Holy Trans River Project, augmentation project. TCTA is still waiting for the department to decide on an alternative funding strategy that was proposed by TCTA in collaboration with DBSA. The areas are in Limpopo, and I think as a portfolio committee, you would have had engagement with the communities coming from that particular area complaining that there's not enough water for them. But our engagement and negotiations, because the anchor customers would have to be the mining space. Now there's a lot of negotiations that are happening between the department and those mining, the mining industry within that particular area, because they are using their cloud as a water user association to actually negotiate with the state on these particular issues. But it is an ongoing thing, and we hopefully will get a resolution to this as soon as possible. The basic mine drainage long-term solution, as I've said before, TCTA has requested the minister to suspend the directive following DWS decision to review the technical solution options for the project, and it is the right of the department to decide on that. At this stage, I guess the only thing that's left is we would abide by any decision that is finally taken, but we would not want to find ourselves in a situation where there is a mandate via directive that we have and we can't give our own intent. Sometimes these things become an issue because the agency comes an auditor, and even Parliament comes and asks that, if you fulfill all the mandates that we have, and this one we cannot fulfill. So it does not make sense for us to be remaining on this. But we have been reliably told that the department is looking at preparing something to this effect, and we will go in line with the decision that we make. And there is also a small project that we've had directives, and it has not been finalized. And this is the Krill project. This requires TCTA to assist EWS with project management and procurement of long lead items. TCTA is still waiting for the transfer of funds from DWS for this project to be completed. And this one as well would need to get finalization as soon as possible. moving to slide 33 is just the objectives in the corporate balance scorecard for 2021-2022. And you would have our objectives on the left. We're looking at the contribution to DWS goals and objectives. How are we measuring it and what our target is? So you can see with the first one, the objective is implementation of capital projects in accordance with the timelines agreed with the department. And we are targeting these particular projects, Makwa, Mkombazi, and Bravas. The second one is operating and maintaining designated projects in accordance with DWS requirements and specifications. Here we're looking at AMT, looking at Western Basin, Central Basin, and Eastern Basins, looking at the different targets from a point of view of where, how much are we supposed to be below the level that really the ECL, the level where we need to ensure that the water does not decant. The next one is operating and maintaining designated project again in accordance with DWS requirements, because this we're getting as part of the shareholder compact between TCTA and the department, and this affects really the integrity of freshwater systems that needs to be protected. And on the right, it's all the targets that we need to meet in terms of the water samples and looking at those parameters that are set between ourselves and the department. And also looking at the Lesotho Highlands water projects, looking at the delivery tunnel north, because we now need to plan ahead. We're looking at 2024 in terms of the tunnel outage, because at that time, there might not be water coming into South Africa. But our plan already is 2021, but we're already planning for this particular outage, just to show that we try and plan in good time to make sure that there are no issues by the time we have to deliver on these. The next one is raising of funding for implementation of infrastructure and managing debt within the approved borrowing limits. And these are the targets in terms of Makwa, Valdiva system, Mkombazi water project, and the debt managed within borrowing limits and all payment obligations being met. So at this stage, for all the debts that we are managing, we have actually kept ourselves within the borrowing limit as set by the Department of Finance. So between ourselves and Treasury, there is a way that we look at these things, but we have not breached any of the requirements as TCTA. The next one is effective control of corporate expenditure to match project workload. And we're looking at whether there are deviations from the budget at the quarterly level, and also looking at what we have in the approved annual budget, and how we're looking at that approved capital expenditure as well. We look at operational expenditure and also look at capital expenditure. I think the CFO, I'll allow her just to come in chair to talk about the finance side of this presentation. The next one is engaging proactively to resolve project matters and advance institutional realignment. And we're looking at the critical project matters and where we're supposed to be in terms of whether we are applying for borrowing limits or looking at settling outstanding payments. And looking at our achievement against the TCTA plan on the establishment of the agency, which has finally taken root. And I think there's a lot of activity that are happening within that particular space. But TCTA is fully aligned. I think at the appropriate time, it might actually set the purpose for the portfolio committee to get us and the department to come and give progress on that, because this is what was in the sauna. So there's a lot of activity that is happening there in terms of planning and how we're going to execute this. We need to coordinate and monitor the efficient implementation of projects within SIP 3 and SIP 18. I did say that we do play a role, a coordination role as well. And so far, I think we've done a good job even in terms of how TCTA has been measured on the comfort of those that are looking at the PICC from a point of view of how we are coordinating this particular two SIPs. Enhancing internal control environment, risk management, and supply chain management. A lot of work has actually come into this, and I know that before, in the previous years, TCTA did get a qualification, but that had to do with how and how much information was coming out of Lesotho. And the previous year, we did get an unqualified audit opinion. And some of the members did ask, what is it that we're going to do going forward to ensure that we don't find ourselves in that space anymore. So we did have a position paper that has been put together, or a strategy on how we need to deal with that. And right now, we're sitting with the AG to actually look at whether they would be comfortable with what has been put in there. They did say that maybe by next week, because I think the target date is today, they would be giving us official feedback on our proposal on how to deal with the issues between TCPA and the Lesotho Highlands Development Agency. Because at this stage, we have to put numbers in our books. But my problem is, we are not in charge of the execution of the project. So that is being done by different institutions in a different country that does not even have TFMA. And we had to try and find a way of how we as South Africa via TCTA account for the taxpayers' money on the South African side, to the extent that all of us, including the AG, would agree to that. So they do have our proposal, and they did promise that they will give us feedback on that. Implementation of ICT strategic plan. I think the Deputy Minister has been very clear that we still have challenges on the ICT because my system keeps crashing. So these are parts of the things that we have to look at. We have to look at the current TCTA and our requirements. But now there is an added thing that's coming once we start talking about the agency, because that would mean that we will have to go back and look at what kind of ICT system has to be put in place. So we are looking at strategies in terms of dealing with these particular issues. The lockdown has meant that digitization strategy and plan needs to be completed and approved, and we have the target dates there as well. And we're looking at positioning TCPK as a critical aspect of the water security. We do have business-relevant papers that are written and submitted per annum. We are part of the international community as well in terms of innovation and thought leadership on water. We work with some of the institutions like the Water Research Commission as well, and also some players within the sector in terms of engaging on these particular issues. And looking at internally supporting and facilitating development of capable employees that can build the desired organizational culture and climate which will ensure business strategies realized. There's a lot of work that we're doing within there as well, looking at leadership effectiveness, looking at performance management as well. So in a nutshell, this is just the high level on the balance scorecard. Chair, at this stage, I would allow, with your permission, the CFO to just take us through the analysis of the budget for 2021-2022.
Thanks, CE. On the budget, I'll start with the budget principles. We have used the zero budget principle, except for those cases where we have existing contracts. For those ones, we use the actual contract prices. And the allocation of direct costs, these ones, we allocated costs directly to the projects that they relate to. And for those indirect overheads, we did the cost are shared among all the projects that we have. When we did the budget as well, we looked at the impact of COVID, and we looked at the National Treasury cost containment measures, and that applied mostly to variable costs. The next slide, this is just a slide that deals with the actual budget. The budget for the 2021-22 in terms of revenue, it's 7.9 billion, and that is based on the estimated volumes and on the tariff. For the expenditure for the year is 2.4 billion, and that one is made up of admin cost, that is the 502 for O&M, which is 392, and the costs that are related to Lesotho. When we look at the operating inflows, we say that we'll be having the 5.52, and we look at the finance charges for the year, it's 1.6. These are the costs that we anticipate on paying on the loans that we'll get, and we get to our net working capital inflow, which is the 3.9 billion. The next slide, there's the one that deals with the we'll start with the net inflow of 3.9. we have the capital repayments of 10.1, and these are made up of the WSP5, which matures on the 28th of May, that is the 9.4 billion, and we have an APSA repayment of 400 million. In terms of the capital project, we have what we call the TCTA project. What included there, we have a MACWAP 2, and that is budgeted for 1.26 billion, and the other project is 160.7 million. And for the LHWP, we have a budget of 2.8, and for the other non-cash flow or accruals, we have, I think it's 264. So if you look at this, the total funding requirement for the year for 2021-22, this is the 10.9 billion, and this is the amount that as TCTA we have to raise to ensure that we are able to complete the project as indicated earlier by the CE. The next slide, they just deal with the MTEF. In terms of that, for the tariff billing, we just looked at the income agreements and the budgeted volumes. For the expenses, we just applied the contract values and the 5% inflation on routine expenses. And for CAPEX, so this is based on TCTA's capital expenditure plans and on the LHDA's long-term cost plans. And we have excluded all the projects where we do not have funding. The next slide, this is just, it reflects the for the MTEF how much we're going to be spending. For 2022-23, tariff revenue is 8.5 billion, expenditure 2.8, and at the end we have a net inflow of 4 billion, that is for 2022-23. For 2023-24, we have a cash inflow of 3.9 billion. The last slide, this one is just with looking at the revenue that we'll be receiving and looking at the capital repayments that we have. We're saying for the 2022-23, we'll need to raise funding of 10 billion, and that funding requirement goes down for the year 2023-24. And just in conclusion, when we did the budget, we just made sure that the corporate plans are aligned with the government policy statements and outcomes. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, this brings us to the end of the our submission. And maybe one thing that one would want to say to qualify this is the only area where I think we will be busy with these years, and that came after the processes have been started, has been how far are we going to go with the establishment of the agency, because the decision came once the plans have been put in place. So I still think there might be a requirement between the department and ourselves to come back to Parliament, unless from the department side and be looking at the budget adjustment to make sure that this major project can actually, or program, can actually be undertaken without any challenges when it comes to the resources that are necessary. Because the changes that it will bring to the water sector are such that it is going to be a massive program. And I'm just putting it out there that we'll have to find a way of maybe coming back or really asking for adjustments to the budget. Because they were done knowing that that work would be done, but we didn't know at what point it would be done. And in fact, at this stage, the minister is looking at the fast track program because everybody wants to see this thing happening. It's been talked about for many years. I think we're threatening 20 years now. So finally, we are seeing that there is some movement on that. So I'm just putting that as one qualification in terms of where differences might come in and where we might need to come back to Parliament on the matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CEO, GM, and the Chair. Can I get members to interact with the presentation? There is no question.
you were very clear, CEO.
The members are still fresh from the suit, too. From the kingdom of the suit.
Yeah.
There's one hand from Member Musala, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Musala. Honorable Musala, you're welcome to your hand only.
No, thanks so much, Chair President. My question to the CCGA, okay, let me just fix.
It's 12 hours.
My question to the CCGA chairperson is as follows. Since the CCGA is a critical role player in the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, as the Auditor General's findings for 2018-2019 in respect of the treaty as well as access to supporting documentation from the authority and the commission being resolved, or will this impact on phase two of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project? The other question, Chairperson, is on page 27 of the TCPA presentation. An amount of 13 billion is reflected as outstanding debt for phase one of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. Could some details be provided on this? For phase two of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, TCPA requires an amount of 32.5 billion. How will this amount be procured if there are delays in granting guarantees by the National Treasury? Chairperson, also I think it was on page 24 or 23 of the slides of TCTA. It also spoke about the acid mine drainage of the Vaal River system, the long-term one. When the speaker was presenting, he emphasized that the Department of of Water and Sanitation have put a hold on that project because I think there's another plans going forward. So can maybe the DM, Deputy Minister Mashogo, report to this meeting how far are they with those plans as the department. Previously we saw the minister on a public platform emphasizing that they're going to go there as the department and take over the water and sanitation part. I think at Mfuleni. So we want to check what is the progress on that regard. Thank you so much, Edison.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Honorable Mokoto speaking. What are National Treasury's conditions for guarantees and bailouts? And with these delays in guaranteeing your debt, what are expected challenges for you for the financial year 2021-22? How do you plan on addressing this? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mokoto. That was, I don't see any other hands. Just to
had questions that on the declaration of the key points for Val, just to check how far are we, that Val system, not to Val them only, but Val system as a way of protecting it, because that's the only way it can then get necessary protection, particularly because it's the hub of the country. The second issue is that congratulate the TCTA, the work that has been done in Lesotho. It's impressive, and we hope, as Honorable Mashala is saying, that will not have any hindrances to the new, to the phase two, and we want to welcome that those that have finances are ready to fund the project. But just to check, as you have raised the CEO, that how do we make sure that we incorporate those areas that the pipes will be passing them, because it will not be, we should not use the same method as used by apartheid, as we have indicated. Just to check whether we discussing this thing so that through Treasury and the department, there should be a means that make sure that the pipe that passes communities that doesn't have water, were able to provide water to those communities. Those are my two questions. Thanks.
Chairperson, lastly, before we close, it is just an input. As the committee. So it's a concern as well, because the committee actually oversees the work of the TCTA. The committee must oversee the value add of Lesotho Highlands Water Project and the work of the TCTA to ensure that South African taxpayers is being used properly. So my concern is we did not see Lesotho, the TCTA people when we were at Lesotho. We only saw, let me just stop there, because we did not see them. The one that arrived late, and I'm just checking, where were they? Who missed that? They did not hear about this crazy, because their work is to
you
a project, but we did not see them there.
Yes,
and they are using the taxpayers' money, which they should have been there for this. Some of the things you discussed with them. Thank you.
I think Honorable Mashala is correct. I think we should just put it in principle, GM, that when we go oversight, we expect the department to give us people at the senior management level. I know that there were arrangements that Manasseh is going, but later on it was withdrawn. But we want to register as a concern that we didn't have a necessary senior leadership when we went to Lesotho. And it is very wrong, and we will expect that in the future, when we go to oversight,
we need leadership of the department, management included in that, not people who have a car to J.
We apologize, Chair, and we agree with the principle, not only senior managers, but even some of us at the executive level who are around. And I can promise that we are correct on that in the future. Can we respond, Chair?
Yeah, you're welcome and your team.
It's fine. Comrade Percy, let's just briefly respond, and then Deborah with Manas should also come in on some of the issues that are departmental related. Thank you. Let's allow Percy to respond. We can't hear you.
Oh, I'm muted. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Sorry, dear. In the presentation that I've done, and starting with the first question of the Auditor General and the critical role that we play as TCJ, I did say that we have put together, because I said the actual problem is this one where TCJ on behalf of South Africa raises funding, but the actual implementer is Lesotho Highlands Development Agency, which is an agency of Lesotho government, not South African government, that is sitting in a different country where even PFMA does not apply. But I think the oversight that Member Mustala was talking about, a lot of work that is now being done by our Auditor General is designed to actually give that comfort to the committee that things have been done properly and the money that is being spent is spent on the right thing. Now, in the first year that we had this issue, this is what led, amongst other things, to the qualification, because we could not give the AG enough information on time. Now, in the second year, this past year where we did not get the qualified opinion, it was on the basis that we had learned from the previous one and our ability to prepare and get the information that is required, and the use of the auditors in Lesotho has actually helped, because we now understood what the AG was looking for. But I did say previously in the portfolio committee that we will now be looking and saying, but are we accounting properly? For me, if I'm sitting as the chief executive of TCK, I'll always be worried that I need to account for work that is being done by somebody else, primarily if it was within the country or how it works. We will want to be held accountable for what we are responsible for. So this is a bit of a problem, because we're now talking about cross-border transactions in terms of what we have done. Now, we came together as TCTA, the Department of Water and Sanitation. We pulled in National Treasury as well, and we pulled in the AG to say, let's find a solution that would actually make sense to everybody in terms of how do we account for these costs, because it makes sense for us to be kept honest and to make sure then that when you as the committee are looking at the work that we're doing, you want comfort that the South African taxpayers' money is used for the right reason. So we acknowledge that, and hence I've said, we had given the outcome of, or the output in terms of our proposal to the AG, and they had taken it to the different structures within the Auditor General, and what they said to us that it also needed to go through their legal department. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they had said this is the last day that they will be looking, today this is the last day that they will be looking at that. So we are expecting to get feedback from them in terms of our proposal by next week, which would mean that on one side, at least, even if this has not been finalized, I think there's a lot of learning and lessons that we've learned in terms of how to operate with the AG and give them the information that they require. But we've gone a step further, and I'm hoping that whatever is going to come from them is something that would improve the flow of information so that we don't find ourselves where we were
So this would actually help us resolve the matter going forward. But it's not something that would stop our ability to go into phase two in terms of those particular issues. Yes, it's bad when you get a qualification, but I think the lessons and how we are working now has actually made it easier for us to understand what their requirements are. But I'm just saying that we actually even took it to the next level. So we'll find out and we will analyze their response, which we don't know yet in terms of how they've looked at that. The second issue is you would have to keep in mind that for phase one, this was actually driven by the World Bank and quite a number of other institutions. So as we are paying for phase one, there would be money that is still owed for that, because you would have debt extension in certain instances, because we wanted to make sure that we can ease the whole issue of phase two coming in. And all the time, we have to try and make sure that water remains affordable. That is why the stretch of the amount outstanding is still sitting at 13 billion. But we've just said that of that 13, we have to pay now on the 28th of May. 9.5 billion of that. So it's a number of different institutions that have made money available. And this one, there was WSP1 to WSP5, which are the different branches of the loans, some of the loans that we need to deal with. So in a manner of speaking, we can break that down in terms of saying this is the part that was there. Some of them has been refinanced. And this is how we are looking at that project, because this is a long-term project in terms of how we're looking at it. For phase two, remember, we are like tonight in terms of the guaranteed delays, but because we are especially and all the infrastructure that we are building on behalf of the state, the issue of how we resolve our delays with the guarantees, it's here to stay with us. And maybe this is one area where it's very important for us to be putting this point on the table. But I also understand where the Ministry of Finance is coming from, because there's been a lot of challenges to the fiscals in terms of ability to get taxes. And I mean, or people to pay taxes, and if you're having so many people losing their jobs, it creates a problem as well. But I think the indicators, if one looks at the macroeconomic levels, is things are starting to settle. So we'll be able to see. But in terms of how we operate and our operating model, as long as we can get access to the fiscals, where South Africa says, we are putting this money aside, we are instructing you to go and build this infrastructure. If we have to go into the market to borrow money, there will always be a requirement that we need to get this guarantee. So perhaps at this stage, we always engage until the last minute. That's why I'm saying the 9.5 billion that we need to deal with, that's coming from phase one. Even today, we're still engaging with Treasury. We are just waiting for the final approvals. But I must say, from our side, we try to do things in good time. Our applications and engagement with Treasury started over a year ago, and you want to do things in a manner that we don't wait till the last minute like we are doing, but situations have actually gotten to this. But I think even the Minister of Finance understands the significance of some of these projects. So it's something that we have to work on, and for us it would have been quite good if it's understood that our projects will actually get those approvals. But our projects are seen as part of some of the projects that other SOEs or the state require. So we unfortunately have to go through these phases, but we know exactly what is expected. And the good thing was, there was nothing wrong with our applications at all. It was just a matter of how the funding markets are responding to the South African situation and some of the conditions that Treasury themselves have said they are uncomfortable with. And this led to the delays in getting the guarantees, because if we go as TCTA into the market and say, this is the amount we want, the owners of the funds would say, these are our conditions. And some of those conditions, before this thing gets approved, we need to go to Treasury. They analyze those conditions and say whether they are comfortable with them or not. So there were conditions that they were not happy with. So what we are doing is, to answer your question as well, is we are also trying to find out whether can we still get competitively priced money out there that do not have these conditions that Treasury is uncomfortable with. That's why we actually widened the net. But in the interim, we are saying to Treasury, or Treasury has actually volunteered that they will go and engage with all the funding institutions, both locally and maybe even internationally if they can, to try and see whether
those conditions that they are uncomfortable with can be relaxed, because this covers all the SOEs that go into the market to borrow money. Chair, I know I'm spending a bit of time on this, but this is such a crucial issue that has been raised by Member Mohlala. The issue that Member Mohlala just highlighted as well, I agree with the Deputy Minister that we will have to try and come up with a different strategy in terms of representation. I need to also say that from our side, we got the invitation, but we also asked now in terms of how many allocations were made for TCTA, and we were told that, and I don't know whether it's between DELCO and the department or how that worked, but we formally asked whether how many allocations, so we knew how many people could actually defend with the portfolio committee for oversight reasons on the other side. And we were told there's only one seat. And I think the member that was that joined the committee on the other side was actually one of our board members, but it was a matter that was difficult, because if there's only one seat available, it makes it difficult for us to be able to fully represent TCTA. But I must say as well, on the South African delegation, because they are on the TCTA's books in terms of where they belong, much as they are sitting on the other side, they were indirectly also representing TCTA. But I take the point, and I support the Deputy Minister, that in future we will have to look at this differently. But it was a matter of allocation. It's not that we did not see the importance of being there to actually assist with answering any questions that the committee might have. I felt it's important that I clarify that issue as well. The issue of long-term AMT, I think that one has been directed by the Deputy Minister. I'll allow the department to come and answer that question. I think, Member Mokotu, your issue was one. It was on the guarantee conditions. And it's something that between us and National Treasury we have to look at, because it's true that this is the biggest risk that we have, because until or unless National Treasury or the Minister of Finance is happy with the conditions that's put down, it makes it difficult for them to approve. And as so far, they are the ones that have actually been tightening the guarantee conditions. And one can see if one looks at the state of most of the SOEs and the state of the economy as well. But we need to get to that point where we know that if we are given a project that we need to do, we won't get new conditions that are different, but they have to analyze each one of them, because the funders as well come with different conditions. So they will actually look painstakingly at each of the conditions where a funder would say, I'm giving you X number of billions, but these are my conditions. So it's a process that we are defining at this particular point in time. And I think it's a known thing that the funders as well are not happy, especially in my presentation, I talked about the land bank and what happened there. That is affecting most of the state-owned entities that want to go out, because the funders are saying, but it looks like if the state is not supporting one of your institutions, why would we give you money? What if they don't support you as well? So it's an area that is ever-changing and dynamic, but it's something that I think it's important that we highlight. And if the portfolio committee can also help with that, we'll really appreciate that as well. But it makes it very difficult for us to get the approvals. We do have funders that are interested in funding TCTA, but we now have this issue of conditions that we need to resolve in a manner that would allow everybody to be able to do what they have to do. And Chairperson, on your issues as a member, you have talked about the declaration as a national people, and that one I leave with the department. And yes, we do acknowledge and accept the congratulations in terms of what the committee was able to see in Lesotho in terms of what we do over there. The other part is the point that I had raised earlier of the social component. I think in my presentation, I did show that initially we did have single-purpose dams, where you'd find that a dam has been built purpose for one use. You say it might be for an industry, it might be for mines, it might be for generation of electricity, or it might be for agriculture. If that is the case, that's how that was used. But I must say that the department has done a lot in terms of changing some of those single-use dams into multi-purpose use, which means you can actually allow access for some of the people that were not having access to the water to have the water. But all of it comes down to planning. when the planning is done in terms of building a dam and saying, or actually having a way of saying you are evacuating water from a dam to particular communities or to a particular end use, at that time, decisions have to be made that has to take into consideration the communities around. And we know that some of these things are legacy issues that come before the time when some of the disadvantaged people could have access. But now that things have changed, it's very important in line with your question that it starts to be looked at differently, because it's all about the yield of the dam and how the water is going to be utilized and who pays for that. And some of our communities, unfortunately, are sitting in areas where there's not even economic activity. Hence, there's a need that the allocations must come from the fiscals via the department. For us, we remain ready to help with the implementation of those if the plans have been done properly by the department. But I think the department can expand on that. Thank you, Chair.
Deborah, you can come through with the CFO and Manas, please.
Sorry, Chair, for delay. I don't know what happened to my system here on my screen. GM, I think that the CE has responded. I think both CEs have responded to the issues that are raised. I'm not sure as to which one the department is to respond to, except to say that we
are... The delay on AMD.
Delay on AMD. Okay. All right. Chair, the AMD issue... Much as we are talking about a new technology or an alternative technology, the main issue there is that the department at some point had difficulties in finances. It's not like it is resolved, but at least we do have a financial turnaround strategy. And so, and I think also, besides just the financial issues, any organization will from time to time look at how best they can do things. So we are working together with the, it may be at operational level, which should start there, by the way, because we are advised by technical people and we rely on them, and it is good that we have technical people that we can rely on. And then we have WRC that's also working on the same, on that strategy. So the best that we can do is to meet, is for the three organizations to meet and look at what WRC has proposed or WRC has produced and see whether we still can continue with the TCTA there or whether the department can then do that on our own. So that's the best that I can say, Chair. And then with regards to the time frames, I don't want to give a time frame that I will not be able to honor. So I'd rather give a time frame once we have determined as to exactly how far we are for us to be able to say, yes, we have arrived at a conclusion or a decision. So, GM, let me leave it there.
Chairperson. One of the things that we should just take is your guidance on the matters you raised, that when infrastructure is being done for security reasons, but also moving away from apartheid planning, Chair, we need to be in a position to ensure that communities where this infrastructure passes by, they too, they deserve to have access, and it's a good practice. Like the CE was saying, a decision has already been made that we do away with what we call it single-purpose dams. You could see a number of communities, whether in KwaZulu-Natal, whether in the Bongo, where these dams were built in such a way that they never cared about the communities around them. And that guidance, the chairperson that you've given us, we accept it with both question of the AMD chair, I can also add the matter that it's a matter that goes beyond the department. Apart from the technological advances that are there, of which we are proud of our Water Research Commission, we will have to work very closely with the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, where mining is taking place, because the biggest damage was done by mines, especially in the valley in the past. And you look at certain aspects of KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and other areas. Those mines, they're actually the biggest of the insurances that we take around mine rehabilitation, those particular funds. That must be made available because they can't only rehabilitate the soil when the damage has been done on groundwater. Sometimes there's too much groundwater that is there, that is all these heavy metals and pollutants, that South Africa can't run out of water, but will be able to run out of water that is fit for use. And also in our case, we need to start to walk the talk around the question of the polluter pays principle when it comes to the waste discharge charge system. And these are some of the issues that we need to be able to come to. But lastly, we must commend you that TCTA has been one of the pride examples on how we can put a special purpose behind it that can go to the market without defaulting, but that you can also be able to throw specialized skills for those people that can start major infrastructure that can be done on time and on budget. And this is one of the core new classes that we should be able to use when we implement this decision of the establishment of the water agents. But these are some of the issues that we are looking forward also to interact with the recommendation of the committee members that visited the Kingdom of Lesotho at the tavern, so that we should be in a position to improve, because there are areas of improvement on this by national, international relations, which is very unique, that neighboring countries, rather than quibbling and fighting over water, we are able to share. Unlike in certain parts of the continent where they are fighting over a very big river system that I don't want to name here, while I know that our country and the AU and the UN are involved in trying to find that where water causes are being shed, there is a possibility of a peaceful coexistence. Ngiyabonga Stalin.
Well, river system security keynote point.
Well, that one, Chairperson, we'll come back and give it, because the last time we got the briefing is that the application was being made, and then there was a decision that in terms of the key points act, that application must be done by the user, which is in the main was Mpuleni. But we are looking at that because it's important that we secure the strategic infrastructure. But we'll not only look at security issues, because we're spending a lot of money on security, but we also need to look at issues of new technologies. Rather than to use the issues of copper or ferrous earth material, we're also learning on how Eskom has been able to deal with the issues of vandalism of their substations. Because even in our case, we've lost millions and millions of friends because of the stealing of the kind of material use. And therefore, we are not a security department, but now we're spending too much money just on security-related matters. We'll then be able to say how far is the actually the designation of it as a national key point while we're helping that municipality. But we have to come back, because one of the issues of civic education is to actually work so hard and say citizens must know that a public infrastructure like water infrastructure, if it gets to be damaged, citizens they too have a role to play. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, TM. Honorable Mashala, is this the follow-up question?
Yes, Chairperson, it is a follow-up question.
Okay.
So
my follow-up question. When I was listening to Mr. Justice Kemman, he emphasized also on the our oversight mandate. I think as a committee we need to be aware that the Lesotho Highland Development Agency, listening to him when he was responding, is a Lesotho entity. We are having oversight mandate on TCTA and others, but not on the Lesotho Highland, not on the Lesotho Development Agency. So I was clarified today when he was speaking. And I think going forward, we need to look on that as well. If an entity of Lesotho, Lesotho Highlands Development Agency, is the entity of Lesotho. So I just wanted also to come there and emphasize it. As the, actually, the statement is saying to us that we only have the oversight mandate to the TCTA, and I think we stop there. That other side, we don't have oversight mandate. We need to sit down and look onto that. Thank you.
Yes, honorable.
If I can be clarified, maybe I did not hear well. If I can be clarified, I can see Mr. Stemmer is standing up. Can we be clarified? Because I think our oversight mandate is only, it only stops at the TCTA. So, the TCTA
was oversight on the department. And the department, which has got entities, one of it being the TCTA, and we oversight on the money that is appropriated through the department, and as they are clarifying it. Me too, I was so confused when Mr. CEO says that the so maybe you can talk to it again so that we understand him properly. What does that mean? Because the treaty is signed by Department of Water and Sanitation and the Lesotho. Even if it might be implemented, if the Lesotho Highlands might be the implementing agency, it might be based on the agreement, but the portfolio committee has got a responsibility to oversight on the agreement itself and make sure that what is due for South Africa it become duly procured on behalf of by those that are representing us. So maybe Mr. CEO, you can talk to that again, because it will even help us as we're going to finalize our report. We'll then be able to have that proper perspective.
Thanks, Chair, if I may come in. And I think that's why I raised my hand. And Member Musala, you are correct that LHDA is an entity of the government of Lesotho. Perhaps an area that's missing in terms of the explanation. And I think it's very important for us to talk about this, because we would not want the portfolio committee to feel that then it means South Africa does not have any control over what is happening on the other side, although it's South African money that is being utilized. The designated authority over what happens on the, and who represents South Africa on this project, even if it's happening in Lesotho, is actually the Department of Water and Sanitation, and I'll explain what I mean. When you went to Lesotho, you met the people that were representing South Africa. That was the South African delegation. Now, the South African delegation and how that project is managed, because it's between two countries, as the Deputy Minister was saying, that this is one where these things were done peacefully. out of the two governments, they then select, I think it's 6 sides, there's 3 and then 3 and then they're supporting. So there are members that represent South Africa and there are members that represent Lesotho. They make what you call the Lesotho Highlands Water Commission. So that commission is the one that, for governance purposes, is overseeing the whole project in terms of what happened. Now, from South Africa's side, we as CCK brings the money. That's why we have to be held accountable, or we get held accountable via the AG in terms of how that works. But the actual implementation gets to be done in Lesotho by sort of the sister, which would now be LHDA, which is an entity that belongs to the government of Lesotho. But from the protection of South African interests, and where, as the chair is correctly saying, what kind of oversight and how do we ensure that our interests in South Africa are being kept intact? This is now where the South African portion of the commission has to be held accountable, and how that reporting needs to come via the designated authority, which is the department. So the department, through the South African delegation, is actually having oversight over what is happening in Lesotho from that end. But we as CCK, we are reporting on the funding side in terms of what is to happen. That's why even CCK is even paying for all the costs and the salaries of everybody that's there. But in terms of where they report to the department directly in terms of this. So even the mandate and everything that happens, the negotiations, they are done government to government, and it's not where CCK comes in, but rather the department. So I think it will still be possible for the oversight that the members are rightfully talking about to say, from the department, we do have South African representation, and it's through that way we can actually know exactly what's happening on the ground. That is why some of them are actually even based in Lesotho. I hope this clarifies the issue, because I know in most cases the portfolio committee sometimes assumes that TCK is fully responsible for what's happening. The designated authority is Department of Water and Sanitation, but how does it do that? We have people on the ground in Lesotho that report to them, and that actually ensure that any negotiations relating to this agreement and this project is done between South Africa and Lesotho via the commission. So the commission is a very important part of how this whole thing works. And I hope this clarifies the issue. So you need to start focusing on the work of the commission and then, because it's responsible for the South African part. As soon as things get into South Africa, then we are fully responsible as CCK on the South African part, even of the infrastructure, because we do the ops and maintenance on the South African side, because it's a channel that ends up in South Africa via Clarence. It comes out at the Ash River. So the South African portion of CCK is accountable for it. But when it comes to the designated authority, it's DWS. But we do have people on the ground, and I think the good thing is the committee just came from there, and there's a lot of people that you have met that represented South Africa. Those are the people that are on the ground, and they deal with LHDA. There are meetings that have been held, and there's different levels of governance, including the meetings that have been held with the acting DG. They call it the meeting of officials. I forget the term, the right term, but there are levels that even goes up to minister, but below that there is acting DG and a counterpart, I think they call them the principal on the other side. And then there are all these other structures. But on the day-to-day, it's the South African delegation. You do have, I think it's a 24-member team that's sitting on the other side, looking at all aspects from the technical side, the projects in terms of how they are being done, and all the support that is necessary, and feeding information back into the department as the cases make the authority. I'm taking a long time, Chair, to explain this, because it's very important for the committee to understand. Thank you.
In short, Chair, we have the full right to have an oversight on the treaty as entered into by the two nations, but there are a number of structures and certain issue that we can be able to account. But as Percy was indicating, certain entities are belonging to the other government. But our relationship is governed by that treaty that yourselves we are familiar with. But at the very same time, we are using taxpayers' money. There will be nothing that precludes you. But we'll be able to say from time to time, unfortunately, like you were saying, an Honorable Mohlala, in future, when you do go out on these oversight visits, we should be able to send the right levels of employees to actually go with you and even to do our own South African debriefing sessions. But there is those particular structures, which is the treaty, the commission, and then there are these implementing agents that ultimately must actually account. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mohlala, I want to wrap it up to say that let's leave it to our meeting when we deal with the report, and thanks for the clarification. And as we're going to deal with the report, we'll have to relook at all these issues, because we can ask questions that might the explanation is raising more questions than ever before now. So can I propose that we leave it there when we're going to deal with the report? We'll invite the department to come and account on certain issues, and then from there we can then take decision that will inform our position as members of the committee.
Yeah, but we leave the... You know, it's not a question, Chairperson. It was also a remark, because the clarity from Mr. Skerman is raising eyebrow. Because we don't have a problem with the setup, but the setup becomes a problem when there is no party in terms of the portfolio committee to oversee the department. If you see very well the setup, it says that the department is the one that is overseeing the commission, and the commission is working with the LHDA. But where does the portfolio committee comes in? I stop there. I think that is the reason why we need to revisit the treaty.
That is the reason why
the treaty must be revisited. Thank you.
No, that's why I'm saying, Honorable Mohlala, anything that has to do with the taxpayers' money of South Africa, and we as the portfolio committee, we have responsibility to oversight on it. But what we need to discuss ourselves and have more understanding, and the reason some of the things, the way it are being done, it's when we compile our report and invite the department and ask these questions, and then out of the response that we get it from the department, we can then start to say, even when we have to really look at the treaty itself, we would then have more clarity in terms of the arrangement and whether does it serve the people of South Africa better, or we needed to tighten certain elements. For instance, you cannot have the entity raising money for a project which they must account for the money, and they are not the people who are supposed to be part of implementing that process. It's on its own, it's a raising question. So that's why I'm saying, can we leave it when we prepare our report, and then we can invite the department and ask specific question looking at the treaty, and then we can then inform what will then be our way forward. Agreed, Honorable Members. Okay, thank you very much, GM and the CEO and the Chair. I think it has been a very helpful information on the issues. We'll still have to
still engaged in the matter?
Chairperson, I agree. I'm Honorable Chairperson. I'm using the gadget to talk Honorable Mkhala.
Okay.
So.
Okay, thank you very much. I was saying that thank you very much, DM and your team, and the information that has come through, it's very helpful for members to continue to play their oversight role. Thank you very much. We're going to break send to
okay.
What
okay. Okay. Sorry, I'm honorable. I'm honorable to add. I agree, ne? For each department, you put in my ears. Spouse issue now. Must specific about that thing.
Yes, no. We are going to call them as we finalize our report, and then we ask questions, we get clarity further, and then we are then be able to say how was used at the portfolio committee. We think this should happen. So I was saying that it's 10-1. I'm going to ask to break us until 1:00, and then we reconvene at 1 for the report. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you.
Yes.